let's talk and let's laugh, cause I got so much to tell you, so let's go kick some.
Kia ora and welcome to Kick Arts with Emma and Stephen, proudly sponsored this month by the fabulous team from the Dolphin Theatre. Head to dolphintheatre.org.nz to check out their latest shows and book tickets. Kick Arts is Aotearoa's comprehensive art show brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe. Thanks to our podcast, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz and find us on Spotify. Tonight, we chat to some of the fabulous stage antics cast from Heathers, the Teen Edition, opening this week in Auckland. Then we're heading to the South Island to chat to singer-songwriter Anna McKean on their latest debut release before heading all the way to Toronto to chat with Nikki Kennedy as she prepares to release her latest album here in New Zealand. Now, to kick off the show, since it is the Heathers team in studio making lots of noise, might I add, let's head first of all to the candy store to kick off the show.
Are we going to have a problem? Did zombies eat your brain? You've come so far. Why now are you yanking on my chain? I'd normally slap your face off in front of the whole damn school. But I'm feeling nice. Here's some advice. Listen up, fool.
Looking hot, buying stuff they cannot.
I like
spending hard, maxing dad's credit card.
I like
skipping gym, dissing her, kissing him.
I like
killer clothes,
kicking nerds in the nose.
If you lack the juice, go play duck, duck, goose. Let your mommy fix you ice cream.
Whoa!
Or come hang with me, and tonight we'll be dirty dancing with the football team.
Whoa!
Pay the check, help you cheat.
All you
have to do, say goodbye to Shamu.
That freak's
not your friend, I can tell in the end.
If she
had your shot,
she would leave you to rot.
Of course, if you don't care, fine, go braid her hair. Maybe Sesame Street is on.
Whoa!
Or forget that creep and get in my Jeep. Let's go tear up someone's lawn.
Whoa! Honey, what you waiting for? Welcome to my candy store. You just gotta prove you're not a doorknob anymore. Then step into my candy store.
You can join the team.
Or you can bitch and moan.
You can live the dream.
Or you can die alone.
You can fly with eagles.
Or if you prefer,
keep on testing me.
To his homecoming party. See, I told you there was still something there. This proves he's been thinking about me.
Color me stoked.
I'm so happy.
Oh, honey, what you waiting for? Shut up, Heather. Step into my candy store.
Oh, you just gotta prove you're not a girl scout anymore. Then step into my candy store. It's my candy store. It's my candy. It's my candy store. It's my candy. It's my candy store. It's my candy store.
Candy store with a bit of Heathers, the musical Teen Edition. We're going to talk to the team very, very shortly. Happy Sunday, Emma, and happy Father's Day to all our dads out there tuning in today.
Yeah, very true.
You've had a busy week as always.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, crazy week. But did manage to get to a show.
Yeah, we both managed to check out Jagged Little Pill.
Yeah, and it was really cool being back at Sky City.
I know. I always walk in there and go, why aren't they using this more? But then actually I stood in the foyer and saw how many one-nighters they have coming up. And it's kind of cool, I guess, to have that space in Auckland that can do the one-night performance, comedian, comedy. Mm. It was actually quite a lot coming up. I didn't realise.
Yeah.
But well done to Bravi Theatre and the team for staging that for the first time. Is that right?
Yeah. In New Zealand.
Yeah.
That's great.
Very cool. And obviously you've got a busy week ahead because you're working with this fabulous bunch of teenagers here to get Heathers open this week.
We sure are. We packed into the theatre today and had a pretty full-on day.
Brilliant. So who did you Con into coming along after a long day of rehearsals and joining us.
Well, joining us tonight, we have both of our Heather Jukes. We've got Sophie and Simone.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
And we have one of our Veronicas, Anka.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, team. Now, who's going to kick it off for our audience listening in? If someone doesn't know what Heather's is about, perhaps you could tell us, what is the storyline of Heather's?
Heather's. Ooh. Okay.
I'm putting you on the spot, but hopefully you know it.
So there's this girl called Veronica, and she is loving her life. Actually, she's not really loving her life at school, but she joins the three popular girls, Heather, Heather, and Heather, and soon meets this guy called JD, who she ends up getting to know. And then the Heathers kick her out of the group because she is defending her friend Martha. And JD's a bad guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything anyone else wants to add to that?
Pretty comprehensive. Good job.
Yeah, I really try.
Okay, so tell us about the characters that you play. So with two of you playing Heather, one of the Heathers, tell us what's the characters sort of all about?
You want to go, Sophie?
I'm happy to. So Heather Duke is the scapegoat of the three Heathers. She's not really having the greatest time when Heather Chandler is in power. But she eventually comes into her own, and we have a very, very cool number called Never Shut Up Again, which Simone and I have had a great time singing. And she has quite the character arc, shifting from being quite a, I'd say more of a meek character because she's constantly told to shut up by Heather, coming into her own and then shifting back to being friends with everyone, having a great time.
Okay, and what's it been like playing this part?
I think it's been very challenging, especially because there's obviously the movie, but the Heather in our version is extremely different to the version of Heather Duke in the movie. In the movie, she's much more nice. She's a little bit more like, I guess there's like less to her. But in the musical, there's so much, like, of our own thought we have to do. Like, when do we decide that we want to become the leader? When does that come in? There's not really a song, or there's Never Shut Up Again, but I think she's decided a bit before then that she wants to rule the school. She's very mean, a lot meaner than I'm used to playing. So it's a little bit more difficult for me. I've never played a role this mean before. So that's definitely challenging. And also our song, Never Shut Up Again. Quite vocally challenging, but that's okay. We love a good challenge, and I feel like I've grown a lot in my performing, which is fantastic.
Nice. What a good answer. Good answer.
Thank you.
All right, Anka, tell us about Veronica.
Yes, Veronica. She is in her senior year of high school, like everyone else, and she is just trying to survive, just trying to get through the year and trying to make it out on the other end. She has dreams and aspirations of going to college and really finding herself and what she wants to do with her life. And she decides, I guess, to get through the year, she needs to find some people to help her, and that is the Heathers. And so she joins the Heathers, which is a wild journey, but then also meets this guy, which she really, really likes, and really just has this massive teenage romance with him and trying to find herself with all the Heathers and peer pressure, and really, like, there's just so much going on in her head because she's being peer pressured to do this and this and this, and yeah, it's chaotic, but at the end she finally comes into her own and realizes that, you know, she can make her own decisions and she really can be her own person, but it took a while to get there. 2.5 hours to be exact, but you know, we get there, and yeah, it's really fun.
Nice. And what's it like playing this role?
I would say definitely by far the hardest role I've ever played. But definitely I like have the biggest privilege of playing this role. She is challenging. I say it's a marathon in a role for sure. It's 2.5 straight hours of just running around and being crazy. But I think that I have grown so much as a performer playing this role, and just really getting to dive into who Veronica is who she is as a person and why she makes the decisions she makes throughout the show, and really getting to do that and getting to do it with someone who I really love, which is Mila Rodriguez-Birch, and I'm very grateful to do it with her.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm very grateful, but definitely a challenge.
Yeah,
definitely a challenge.
Cool. Emma, Anka mentioned, you know, the 2.5 hours. So this is the teen edition, as opposed to some, quite often we're talking to you about your junior versions. So is this still full length, but changed to some of the scripting to better suit a younger audience?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
It's kind of similar to earlier in the year when we did Hadestown Teen Edition.
Right.
It's pretty much exactly the same, apart from a few of the bits and pieces have been censored down.
Right.
So, you know, whilst I'm still not recommending 10 to 13-year-olds probably come.
Right.
You know, I think they should be a little bit older than that. It tackles some really difficult topics, you know. It does, I mean, we've got all the bullying and the peer pressure and all of that kind of stuff, but we've also got self-harm and suicide and different things like that. So, you know, there's a lot to tackle, but these guys are definitely well and truly up to taking on that challenge.
Oh, thank you.
Nice, nice. Do you have favourite songs in the show? Oh, yes. What's your favourite song?
My favourite song is one I'm actually not a part of.
Yep.
It's called I Am Damaged, and it's the last song that JD sings in the show before something very sad happens.
Okay.
And it's such a, it's only about 30 seconds long, but it's always such a joy to listen to Ben Young and James Todd sing it. Absolutely fabulous.
Nice. Okay. What about you? What's your favourite?
Is it horrible if I say Yo Girl? I feel like that's really niche, but I like singing it backstage, so yeah.
Okay, cool.
I'm a JD fan too, I guess, because my favourite song is a song he sings called Freeze Your Brain, which is quite early in the show. And again, I get to have the privilege of listening to it on stage, which is really, really fun. But yeah, it's just, it's such a fun song, and they both sing it really, really well. So, yeah.
Agreed.
Brilliant. Did you all catch the professional production when it visited through Civic recently?
Yes.
Yes. So what inspiration did you take from there that you're kind of trying to put into this character?
Actually, the girl who plays Heather Duke, her name is Amelia Rojas, and she went to our school.
She did. Right.
So everyone that does Heather is from Berradine is Heather Duke. But a lot of my inspiration from her, I think, is her vocal choices.
Mm-hmm.
She's very, not like nasal, but like in the way that she speaks, like in her like normal speaking register, you can almost hear her singing as she's speaking. Like she's not singing notes, but she has almost like singing qualities to the way that she speaks. So I feel like a lot of when I'm just speaking, to get myself ready for a song or even just trying to be mean, I feel like I can't do that in my own voice. So instead of like putting on an accent, because I kind of already have it, but also kind of don't, I've been singing, not really singing, but like kind of singing, does that make sense? Like nasal qualities, I guess, into my speaking voice.
Okay. Yeah. And you picked that up after watching the professional show?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. The Australia.
Nice.
New Zealand one. Yeah.
That's done a massive tour, because is it just finished?
No, it's just opened in Sydney.
Wow. Mm-hmm. They've done a really good run with that one.
They have.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
Fabulous cast. Absolutely amazing.
Cool. What was your takeaway from it?
I mean, Emma Caparazzo is an absolute powerhouse as Veronica. I was in awe watching her perform. I think just really trying to dive into the more... Veronica's weird, guys. Like, she's really quirky. She's really weird. She's a nerd at the end of the day. Like, in the beginning of the show, she's really just not really sure where she fits in. And I think I really enjoyed watching her take on Veronica's weirdness and quirkiness and awkwardness throughout the show, because she is quite an awkward character. And so I really try to take some of those parts of her portrayal and try to add a little bit of into mine, but also trying to still keep it my own, because I do obviously want to give my own to the role. But yeah, I think that, but yeah, she's incredible.
Brilliant. All right, we're going to play one of my favourite songs from the show next, which is 17. Does someone want to try and talk about where this comes in the show?
Yes, I can. So Veronica and JD at this point have had quite an argument, have been having quite a bit of arguments throughout the show. JD is doing some pretty awful stuff to some of the people at Westerberg High School, and he is just kind of out of his mind. He is trying to rope Veronica again, that peer pressure, and trying to get her to do things she doesn't want to do, and she just wants to be 17 with him and have this teenage, like, this high school romance sweetheart thing. And he's just like, oh, no, I want to do all this other stuff. And she goes, no, let's just be 17 together and have this last year of high school together, which is kind of where she's going with the song.
Nice. What year levels are you guys at school?
I'm year 12.
Huh? 13.
I'm also year 12.
12, 12 and 13. All right. So very much the age of the characters that you're playing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I won't ask you if there's been any show romances like this during it. So we'll keep that one off here tonight. But let's take a listen to 17.
Fine. We're damaged. Really damaged. But that does not make us wise. We're not special. We're not different. We don't choose who lives or dies. Let's be normal. See bad movies. Sneak a beer and watch TV. We'll bake brownies or go bowling. Don't you want a life with me? Can't we be 17? People hurt us,
or they vanish.
And you're right, that really blows. But we let go,
take a deep breath,
then go buy some summer clothes. We'll go camping,
play some poker,
and we'll eat some chili fries. Maybe prom night,
maybe dancing.
Don't stop looking in my eyes.
Your eyes.
Can't we be sad?
Is that so hard to do? If you could let me in, I could be good with you. Let us be 17. If we've still got badly damaged, but your love's too good to lose.
Hold me tighter,
even closer.
I'll stay if I'm what you choose.
Can't we be 17?
If I am what you choose.
If we've still got the
beautiful. And it's one of those songs that you just sit there watching it and just, I think for me as the director, the biggest blow away is that they are just teenagers and they're so young, my performers, and they do such an amazing job. So well done, girls.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the cast that are listening, hopefully, from their little homes, the ones that decided to go home.
That are tucked up in bed with their lemon and honey, ready for the week ahead.
Sure they are. So we're going to talk about your arts journeys now, guys. So let's start with you, Soph. Tell us, where did performing begin for you?
So I started dancing when I was about 5, like many little kids, and I did a perform.net holiday program and saw a flyer for Encore's My Son Pinocchio, and that was my first ever production I did at the ASB Waterfront Theatre, and I've been performing ever since. I've done, I think this is maybe my 33rd stage production.
I love that you're keeping count.
I had to count the other day, and so now it's ingrained in my brain.
Yep. Very cool. Okay. Simone?
Hello. I started performing arts when I was 5 because my mom tried to get me to do so many other things and I hated it all. So I joined perform.net and I liked it enough that my mom was like, okay, she can just do that. So I did, and eventually I found out about NYT and their holiday program. So I joined their holiday program, and every single time I was too late to sign up because everyone wanted to do the main stage productions. But eventually we got there, and since then I've also done, I think, around 45 stage productions, which is awesome. But and I also joined Stage Antics in 2025 in Invercargill, which was quite random. But
wow.
Don't regret it at all.
Were you down in Invercargill, or did you fly down to do the show?
I flew down. I did the America trip,
yep.
And one of my best friends, Binny, she stays in my house every year for the JTF. She lives in Invercargill, and she was like, they're doing High School Musical, and I don't get why everyone hates High School Musical, because I love it. So I flew down, like, this is my show. And yeah,
well, that's awesome. Good, somebody still loves it. Awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
And where did it begin for you?
Oh, my goodness. I think for me it was, I grew up singing. I was a little singer, singing around the house. My parents were sick of it. They needed me to stop singing around the house. So my mom one day saw a flyer on Facebook, I think it was, for Auckland Performing Arts Academy's Beauty and the Beast in 2019. I think I was around 9 years old, and so my mom said, yep, you're doing it, you need to get out the house. So and I fell in love with the stage. I fell in love just singing on the stage, standing on stage. I was ensemble, but I loved every second of it. I think from then, and I haven't really gotten off the stage since. I'm not as impressive with the amount of shows that they have done. I think I'm at about 20. But
that's still good.
Thank you.
Awesome.
You're welcome. But
in 2 years, I think this is your 7th in 2 years.
That's very true. In the past 2 years, it's been go, 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 but I actually wouldn't trade it for the world. I love being on the stage, especially with this cast and these people. So fun.
Aww.
So much love
in
my heart.
So much love.
Where would you like to take it in the future? Like, you know, do you have plans that once you leave school, are you off to work? Are you off to uni? Is this something that you think, I'm going to keep it up in my life somehow, even if it's community theatre or the fabulous theatres that operate out of the universities? Or are you like, no, I want this to be an arts journey for me forever, so I'm off to performing arts school? Like, what's the long-term goals?
Yeah, for me, I am definitely wanting to go to uni after I finish next year. I do actually want to study psychology. I love psychology, so for me, that's a path I do want to take, but I will never give up musical theatre. I love it so much, so I think if I'm staying close to home, Emma's not getting rid of me, I will be at Stage Antics doing all the shows. And I think just auditions, maybe just doing auditions for bigger productions and all that kind of stuff to see where that takes me. But yeah, I think I won't put it down just yet. I love it too much.
Nice. Okay. Next down the aisle.
Well, I'm off to uni next year.
Yep.
So
what are you gonna do?
The decision quickly. I have visited NASDA, and I'm planning to audition for that. But also looking at some other courses. I'm also a psychology girl from my dad. Happy Father's Day if you're listening, Papa P. But even if I do decide to go down the psychology lane, I will definitely continue doing performing arts. It's been my home away from home for as long as I can remember, whether that's like the theater club or little community productions. Anything I can do to keep my love for theater alive will be happening. Yeah.
Nice. And because NASDA auditions, are they coming up soon?
Yes, I think they're on the 20th of September.
Okay, you kind of need to get organized then.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Good point.
Although sometimes it's good to have a year of life experience before you go into something like a performing arts school, because you need to be able to draw on a lot. So, you know, sometimes that gap year, sorry, Papa Pete, but sometimes that gap year is very, very useful too, especially if you're going down the performing arts journey,
to have
that little life experience.
Okay,
all right, lucky last, what's your sort of long-term goals?
I'm really hoping when I graduate in 2027 to pursue further performing arts training. I would love to go to a performing arts school. I'm going to audition all over the show. I'll just go out for everything because nothing to lose.
Yeah.
I've been looking at everywhere pretty much, New Zealand, London, Australia, just hoping to get in somewhere and really further my craft because I love it so much and I wouldn't, like Anka said, I wouldn't trade it for the world. I'm so lucky to have the gift of performing and to share it with everyone.
Good on you. Good on you. And hey, you don't know unless you try, so reach out for the stars. We get lots of Kiwis that do very well in those overseas performing arts schools, so go for it. Absolutely. What would you say to someone in high school now, perhaps younger than you, maybe sort of the year 9, 10, who's thinking, I'd love to give theatre a go or do the school show or whatever, but for whatever reason, there's some nerves about doing it. What advice would you give someone?
Just go for it. You've only got so long, and we have some absolutely amazing youth productions and youth companies in Auckland. We have Stage Antics, we have Encore, we have NYT, we have APA. We've got so many opportunities for you to go for it, and the community is so supportive. I find that anywhere I go, there's always a group of people who are there with open arms. Everyone is absolutely lovely. You always just need to give it a go because you've only got so long until you go to, obviously you can continue performing arts throughout your whole life, but you've only got so long to be in a youth production, and it's just such a great atmosphere from all of the lovely creatives who run everything.
What about someone who's just too nervous to audition? Like that's the bit. They can't even get past that. They want to be in it, but there's, you know, you do meet people that actually just, that stage fright of an audition is so real that it stops them getting to that next stage. What advice would you give to that nervous year 9 or 10 scared to audition?
But you can do it. I think that's so awful. That's not really, like, very helpful. But, like, genuinely, everyone in performing arts is the most welcoming people that I think you will ever find. Everyone is looking to help you, especially the creative team, whoever they may be. They are always just wanting to make you feel more comfortable and make you feel like you are doing better than a performer, as a performer, than you were when you first started. Even if it's like in the show sense, if you start, for example, with Heathers, if you start off with Heathers, then by the end of it, you'll be 10 times better. And that's how I felt every single show. The audition is just one little section. You're going to improve so much by the end of it. No one is judging you in a negative way, and everyone is just looking out for you and wanting you to do the best that you can.
Nice. Yeah, Anka, do you have some top tips for when you're auditioning that helps you get in the zone or prepare, perhaps?
Yeah, I am a person who does struggle with audition nerves and everything like that. I think that's normal for everyone. It's hard. Auditions are incredibly hard. Doesn't matter how many shows you do, auditions do not get any easier. I think my main thing is to be prepared. There is nothing worse than just procrastinating and procrastinating, learning your lines or learning the song that you have to sing, and you get there and you're not as prepared as you think you could have been, and you don't give it your all because you're not prepared. So that definitely is my main tip. I think I was told when I was younger, one piece of advice, which is do it scared. Do the audition scared. You know, there is it just gives you an adrenaline rush and you will get through it. It's not the end of the world. You'll do many, many auditions in your life. And even if one is bad, you know, you improve on yourself. And I remember my first audition. Holy smokes. I stood there and did nothing. I was so terrified. I stood there and didn't sing, didn't do anything. I couldn't do it. I just was so nervous. But that honestly made me a better performer by having that experience and being like, you know what, it actually wasn't as terrible as I thought it was. And I went back the next show and I did 10 times better. And yeah, that truly helped. But yeah, be prepared, guys. You know.
Nice. Emma, as a director, what sort of tips would you give somebody perhaps going for their very first audition and doesn't even know what to expect?
One, I think there are so many programs now that do this show in a week style where you register and you're automatically in. And I think that really helps because then when you come into that workshop on day one, you're in the show. So I feel like that takes a little bit of the nerves out.
Yep.
And I think the biggest thing too is that people need to realize that a show can't be done without an ensemble. So the amount of young people that kind of come through that are devastated when they don't get a lead, but actually as an ensemble girly, I think that being in the ensemble is really exciting because you play multiple roles and you get to be on the stage often more than the leads do. you know, so really, really enjoy growing through the ensemble as well.
Yeah, good tips. What do you think your parents will make of this show? Do they know it? Have they seen it before? Because the storyline might shock them a little bit. I remember the first time I saw it, I was like, oh, this wasn't what I expected.
So I actually brought my lovely mother, Sarah, Mum, if you're listening, hi. I brought her to the Civic to see Heathers. It was the second time I had seen it, so I kind of already knew what I was in for. And she really enjoyed it. She had a great time. My dad, I don't know if he's seen the movie, but I'm sure he's going to love it anyway. Huh. And we're going to have a great time.
Is the movie a musical version of it as well, or a play?
Nope. It's a. It's starring Christian Slater and Winona Ryder, and it is fully scripted. It's incredible, incredible movie. Love it so much. Seen it so many times.
Okay. What do you think your parents are going to think? Have they seen it before?
They have. Ah. I sat in between them at the Civic.
Okay.
Loved watching Dead Girl Walking with them. It was awesome. Sadly, my father cannot make it, but that's okay. I think my mom will enjoy it. I think she is always hearing me practicing singing. She's like, I didn't know you got that mean in you. Did she sing that? Probably not, but that's okay. I think she'll like it. I hope so, at least. She always loves whatever I'm in, but yeah.
Anka, is there any part of the show that you're looking forward to the audience reaction? Like, is there a part that you're thinking, I can't wait for them to react to that?
I think there's just a couple of classic songs in the show. Candy Store, I just know is going to be a hit as soon as Heather Chandler says those opening lines to Candy Store. Yes. I just know the audience is going to go crazy. I think a big turning point in the show is a song called Our Love Is God. And I think that whole number at the end of Act 1 will just make the audience go, oh my goodness, because that's really when you see some of these characters come into light of who they truly are, and especially JD, because that whole number is really him showing the audience who he truly is, and I think the audience might just sit there and go, whoa. So I'm excited to see, not really see the audience, because I can't see them that well, but really get to hear the stories of the audience after the show and see what they thought of that number, because it's always fun to perform.
Nice. And Emma, this is double cast.
Six of the characters are double cast. So our Veronica's, JD's and Heather's are five of the cast are double cast. And that's kind of a little bit because of the complexities of those five characters' music. Like, it's pretty full on for them. So to do six shows in a row and two show days would have been a lot. But also we had so much talent walk through the room that to try and get it down to only one of each was also a near impossibility. So as much as it's really stressful having to try and rehearse two casts, and for these guys, they are their character for three of the shows, but then they play the ensemble track for the other three.
Right,
so they're
cool.
Actually learning two parts.
Yeah.
Which is pretty full on as well.
Yeah. But given all the hospitalizations and winter flus, it's also very wise these days to have a double cast.
Oh,
just keeps things ticking. And then it takes that edge off someone who isn't well.
We have had one rehearsal on Wednesday night last week with the full cast.
Wow.
And it was a fix-ups rehearsal. It wasn't even a run. Because we have had someone away from every single rehearsal, whether it be because of Big Sing or another show commitment, but most of all because of this horrible flu.
Mm. All right, who's giving us the show blurbs? Where can we get tickets? When's it on? Where it's on? Take it away.
We're all pointing at the same person.
You can get tickets at iTicket or in the link at Stage Antics Bio on Instagram. We are performing at West Point Performing Arts Centre and we are having an absolutely fabulous time there at the theatre. Yeah.
And when's it on?
It is on the 10th to the 13th of September. We have six shows.
Just six chances to see it. And where can people follow Stage Antics, Emma?
Stageantics.nz.
Brilliant. Well, all the best, team, for a fabulous season. Kristen and I will be there on Thursday to catch whichever one of you is on Thursday night. Looking forward to it. Have a fabulous season. And, yeah, we'll look forward to seeing it. And good luck with your week ahead, Emma. We'll let you have next Sunday night off.
Gee, thanks.
All right, we're going to take a music break now, and following their comeback single, In the Clouds, the eight-piece Wellington hip-hop and funk outlet Raw Collective are back with another solid tune called Tables Turned. It's the second single for their upcoming fourth album. They say it evokes dreams of summer to come. Man, we need that at the moment. And features the vocals of multi-platinum reggae artist Rari Star, formerly Israel Star, and two-time recipient of the Best Reggae Album. Let's take a listen to Tables Turned.
We made in a pavilion,
and too many years I wait and see nothing.
So all these years Rastaman wait, 'cause the truth will reveal itself. So we see tables will have to turn one day. The tables will have to turn one day. So I say the tables will have to turn one day.
Collective with Tables Turn. What a great track. What a kind of like a deep sound to that track.
I was just going to say, I loved all the brass in
there. Yeah.
Like, it's really cool when you hear that brass coming through.
Yeah, I love it. Now, if you've got some new music like those guys, send it to us, info@kickarts.org.nz. We love playing your music. And speaking of music, we're now going to head to the Otago Hills, I believe, to catch up with Anna McKean about their latest track. Good evening, Anna. Welcome to Kick Arts.
Kia ora, how's it going?
Good. Are we talking to you in the Otago Hills, or did I make that bit up?
No, you absolutely are. Every now and again I'm not in them, but today is definitely a day that I am.
Fantastic. Well, welcome along, and tell us a little bit, first of all, about who you are and your own music journey. When did it first kick off for you?
It's been a long journey, I would say, but definitely a very rewarding one. I've been writing music since I was probably about 10 years old, and so got into doing more of that, working with people to help me build tracks, and then started learning how to play guitar by the time I was about 13. And from there, it's just like snowballed. I was fortunate enough to spend 3 years at the New Zealand School of Music studying jazz. And then kind of went off a little bit sideways in a bit of a country indie direction. But, yeah, definitely in the thick of it at the moment. I'm just doing music as much as I can, as many days a week as I can. It's pretty fun.
Brilliant. And do you find that, you know, those years looking at jazz, does that kind of still infiltrate the music, even though you've gone sort of country, indie, et cetera? But do you find there's a little bit of jazz roots still coming through?
I definitely think that there's some note choices and some chord choices, and not in my recent single release, but definitely in a lot of what I'm writing. I think that's considered in a lot of different areas, and I definitely find that my deeper understanding of what's going on and what I want to achieve is so much more set because of the background that I've had in jazz.
That's cool. So, I mean, being in the Otago Hills, surely you've got some great places for some inspiration. What's your sort of way of writing? Are you a sit-down lyrics first person, or does the music come out first? What's your style?
It's quite interesting, actually, because I find that most people that I talk to have one set framework, and I find that I jump between the few, which can create quite like an interesting environment for me. I definitely can sit down just with my guitar and then start playing, and then I find that like a melody and lyrics will come out of me, and oftentimes I find that's when I reveal my own truth to myself, when I just let myself sort of sing with a bit of whatever plucking pattern I've come up with or whatever chord sequence is coming through. But as somebody that's been, I guess, coming up with melodies and lyrics since I was a little kid, I will often be like walking down the street and I'll hear the melody or I'll hear the lyric in my brain, and it starts there, and then I have to sit down at the piano or sit down at my guitar and really nut out where everything wants to go and what kind of stylistic direction I want to take that in. I've got one song that I wrote entirely in my head on a bus ride, and then was able to sit down and track that when I got home.
Brilliant. Love that. And do you write from sort of, is your inspiration real things that are happening in your world, your life, or your past? Or is it quite sort of, no, just whatever enters your head?
I think a lot of it definitely comes from, I would say, like a journal style of songwriting, because I think that's when we get the most sort of raw emotion. But it's not always that I will... Something is kind of giving a bit of a story to it, I suppose. Sometimes I'm taking pockets of inspiration from myself to write a narrative that maybe isn't 100% my story, or is somebody else's that I've kind of wound in with an experience. I do find that sometimes I'll read a really good book and the song that comes out of me has absolutely nothing to do with me, but I think that like sometimes you digest other emotions from other stimulus and that creates a narrative that feels genuine to how you felt while taking that in.
Yeah, totally. So if we were to sneak in and look at your Spotify playlist, who's inspiring you? Like, what are you listening to?
There's a lot of variety in there, I'm not going to lie. My favourite artist of all time is Johnny Cash, and I really like some of the poetic and the storytelling aspects of his writing. in terms of more modern artists at the moment, there's definitely, again, still quite a bit of variety going on there. I really enjoy at the moment Kacey Musgraves. I think her recent album has definitely sprung some stylistic changes in some of the ways that I've been writing, which I think is really, really cool. I love Rainbow Kitten Surprise. They don't do anything even slightly like what I'm writing, but I think the way that they work with different tone and kind of develop interest as the song moves along really kind of gets me moving. I love Counting Crows. I love the Waterboys. It's a bit of a mixed blend at the moment. John O.B. Smith, who's an Australian artist, is doing some really cool acoustic stuff stylistically with rhythmic guitar. And I've been really enjoying that as well.
That's cool. When you're performing, do you prefer to perform with a band or do you prefer the more acoustic sound?
I think it so depends on the environment.
Right, fair enough.
Yeah, but I really enjoy an intimate show, and so I like the acoustic sound with it as well. I think it suits well to what I would say is some pretty well-intentioned lyrics, and I want it to feel, mostly with my music, like quite an intimate experience.
Mm. All right, we're going to play one of your tracks now, Never Love Me. Tell us about this one.
Yeah, so this track I actually wrote a number of years ago, but I had decided that it was definitely going to be kind of my first proper release. It came out in the end of Music Month in May of this year, and I have been working with a producer to create a fully fleshed out version, but I thought it was really important to release, kind of like we said before, a more intimate, stripped down version of it. So this is the acoustic cut, essentially, and I wanted to present something that felt most genuine to how I kind of think about music as I'm writing it before giving everything a bit more flushing. It's a retrospective love song. I think there's a lot of times where we look at relationships and we feel like really negative about it for one reason, either sad or angry, or we feel super positive and then feel quite empty when it's over. And I think sometimes it's okay to take a step back and look at relationships and go, there are all these beautiful things, and maybe even if I knew I'd feel terrible at the end of it, I'd still do it all over again.
Brilliant. All right, stay on the line and let's take a listen. Here is Never Love Me.
I've been trying for a way to say it true. Sings to you and me like only we know how to. Send a Chesney, Cash and Dolly too. Every time close window plays, I can't help but think. Still look for that blue truck in my driveway. Your picture on my phone. Say I'm gonna give you up, but you ain't too good at getting going. Too quiet at night. 2 a.m. comes around the bend and stars are screaming from the sky. Are you listening to a little Taylor too? 'Cause New Year's Day comes on and without fault it makes me think of you. Still look for that blue truck in my driveway. Your picture on my phone. I say I'm gonna give you up, but you ain't too good at getting going. Nothing lasts forever. Hurting is the only guarantee. I'd do it all again, even if you never loved me. And I go round and round in my head, and nothing's ever wrong. Then I turn the volume up and Chris Brandy plays that song.
your picture on my phone. I say I'm gonna give you up, but we both know that's damn wrong. And I know nothing lasts forever, and hurting is the only guarantee. I do it whole again, even if you never loved me.
Beautiful, beautiful. Oh, now listening, I could imagine that sort of double version, you know, that lovely stripped back, as you say, and then play it in a concert with a band or something. And yeah, you could take it to a different level. You could you could bring in quite a bit of the jazz element if you wanted.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the plus of playing around with all those sorts of things, and the joy of working with a producer where we kind of go, actually, it needs something more fleshed out here. Is it a piano? Is it this? Oh, no, wait, it's cello. It's so we're bringing quite a lot of depth to the full-fleshed version, which I'm really excited for, to feel it in, like, a bunch of different ways.
That's so cool. So what's next for you? What have you got lined up?
I'm currently doing a fair bit of playing music around Otago at the moment, which is great. I'm having a really fun time. And I am working, like I say, with my producer on an EP, which hopefully I should have another single coming out shortly for you all, which is really, really exciting. A non-acoustic version. There's going to be a fair bit of variety, and ideally that EP looks like it should move into album territory sometime next year. So it's all moving forward pretty nicely.
That's brilliant. When you look back at your music, you know, and now I'm going to time jump you to the Grammys in the years to come, and you're doing your thank you speech. Like, who are the people that have played a part in your music journey?
There's a fair few key players. A big one that I played a show recently, and I sort of turned around and played a song that is very much inspired by my dad. He was the person that kind of motivated getting me new guitars and listened to every single song I wrote from the age of 9, 10. And there was like 3, 4 a week sometimes. So, you know, the man put in the hours to really just give me feedback constantly, empower what I was doing constantly. I think he kind of goes on the top.
Thank
you. Know it's definitely
go
to dad.
That is so cool. That is so cool. Where can people support you, like, to download your music, or where's the best place so that you can get the maximum benefit of people listening to your music?
Perfect. I mean, the bonus is people listening to it is a joy to me in itself, but you can kind of get it on every streaming platform, which is really fantastic. I am all over Spotify and Apple Music and Tidal. I know a lot of people are really preferring Tidal at the moment, which I'm all here for. And honestly, I think there's about 40 different kinds of streaming platforms that you can access my music on. But if you want to follow along with my journey with music and get all the latest updates on when things are coming out and how to find them and save them to your preferred streaming platforms, my Instagram is kind of the place where you're going to find all the info, and that is all at Anna McKean Music. So it's all pretty easy to follow along.
Fantastic. Hey, thank you so much for joining us on a Sunday night. Good luck with the release of the next tracks. Make sure you send them our way so that we can share them with our listeners. And we'll look forward to catching up when you come up to Auckland for a concert and need to come and visit us in studio.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely fantastic. Thank you, Anna. You have a good rest of your Sunday night.
Kaki te.
Cheers. Fantastic. Now, another singer-songwriter I actually caught up with in the early hours of this morning, because we had a little chat with Nikki Kennedy all the way in Toronto. But before we play the interview, here is one of her recent tracks called I Don't Think About You.
For months since we parted ways, and I'm not sure where I stay. Seems alone.
That was I Don't Think About You from our fabulous next guest, Nikki Kennedy, beaming all the way in from Toronto. Hi, Nikki.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Hey, it's great to have you. Thanks for joining Kick Arts. And we've pre-recorded this earlier today so that we could not talk to you in the small hours of the morning.
I appreciate that so much.
What a great song and a nice, very natural, relaxed video. Just got that sing-at-home vibe to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's really cool. So, look, before we unpack your songs, take us right back. When did music first kick off for you?
Oh, gosh. I feel like music's been a part of my life since I was literally, like, a little kid. I remember dancing in the living room with my dad, to all the disco hits, and then singing in church choir and school choir, and then basically got the bug and couldn't stop and started playing piano, and it hasn't stopped since.
That's good. So you grew up in New Zealand, but now living in...
Yep. Yeah, so I grew up in New Zealand. Mom and Dad still live there. The whole family still live in New Zealand. So, yeah, it's just me over here.
Because your accent is very nice. That's confusing me.
Yeah, it depends what's happening though. Okay. I feel like when I'm speaking to Canadians, it's very Canadian. And when I'm at home or with family, then it sort of comes out quite strong. And then in between, it's a little bit of a mishmash.
That's so cool. All right. So you kicked off with the choirs and the disco. Who's sort of influencing your music these days? If I raided your Spotify playlist, who kind of inspires you musically?
Oh, gosh. I'll tell you, I just saw Olivia Dean in concert. So that was
fantastic.
I also just saw Noah Kahan in concert. So we got both the R&B and the folky stuff. I love it all. I don't know. I'm all over the map and I love that. And I hope that never changes.
That's cool. What took you all the way to Toronto, dare I ask?
Well, I left right after high school, so I think there was a part of that was like, you know, just wanted to get out into the big wide world and chase my dreams. And I had an opportunity to go to school for performing arts, and I took it, and it was a big move at the time, but I had the boldness of a naive teenager, and
when those opportunities come up, you just grab them. And so was that in all musical theatre or just singing? Like, what was the course that you did?
Yeah, it was definitely like musical theatre. And for a while, I thought that was kind of the path that I wanted to take, because really I just love telling stories through music. And to be honest, I didn't realize that maybe people would want to hear my own until a little bit later, but I'd always written songs, and like all through my teenage years, that was kind of my outlet for expressing myself. So it was always a very like personal thing. And it wasn't until a little bit later, I was like, maybe I might want to share these, or maybe people might want to listen.
And are you still treading the boards theatre-wise as well, or is it just all music these days?
No, it's all music these days, but I'm really grateful for that background, because I think that it's helped a lot, especially for performing live and just not being scared of the stage and connecting with audiences in that way.
Okay, so what does the music world look like in Toronto? I mean, a few weeks ago we caught up with Lisa Crawley, well-known Kiwi artist that now lives in LA, and sort of talked about the fact that, you know, her journey consists of some nights playing in a bar, other nights for a gig. Sometimes she's opening a concert, next minute she's getting bids on a phone app of what song to play. You know, like, she has to do it all to survive and keep the recording going. What does that world look like for you?
Yeah, so I just recently moved to Toronto, actually, or back to Toronto, I should say. I've spent the last few years in Vancouver. And so the last 4 or 5 years or so, I've been working full-time as a gigging musician. So same kind of thing, playing bars, events, hotels, weddings, like all of that kind of stuff. And that has been really great for getting my 10 million hours in of just practice, play. And on the side of that, I've been working on my own music, and anytime I have the opportunity to play a festival or a show that
I get to just do originals is such a privilege, and I'm so grateful for. And that's the goal moving forward, is to get more of that, and just going to keep working at it until hopefully one day it's all I do.
That's cool. That's cool. Do you do all your own sort of management and marketing as well? And I guess two parts to that question. Are you trying to market to the New Zealand market and over where you are, or do you focus on one area more than the other?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because the internet's trying to change that game a little bit. And even so, throughout the pandemic, when everything shut down, all the gigs were canceled, I did move to live streaming, and that also opened up a little bit more of a audience that, to be honest, I never thought that I would be like comfortable like sitting in front of a camera playing music. But it was this beautiful way of actually really connecting with people. And also suddenly it became a thing where it didn't matter. Like my mom and dad could tune in for me. But then I could also reach places like, you know, the United States or Europe, where I, you know, it can be really inaccessible to tour as an indie artist, especially in the early stages of a career. Suddenly I got to reach some people there. So it's definitely become a little bit more global, which is cool. But yeah, I think especially for this release, I've been focusing on home a bit more because the home and is kind of sort of what inspired this record. And yeah, so I have a new album coming out. And these songs are from it. But yeah, it was really sort of inspired by home and then also not being home and what that feels like.
So
it's been nice to try and share that with people back home, even though I'm here. And it's a weird thing to navigate, but it's made me very grateful for where I'm from and trying to carry that forward in North America too. So
thank goodness for the internet. I mean, artists back in the old days, you know, imagine the journey they had to just try and get their music played outside of the country that they were in. Must have been so much work. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
What's your sort of process for writing music? It always fascinates me on the show. Are you a lyrics first? Someone a couple of weeks ago said they pull over the car in the side of the road and suddenly blurt into their phone something because it's in their head. Like, how do you write, and is it music before lyrics or vice versa?
So I think the voice notes and the like all that kind of stuff is a little bit of a universal thing, because I feel like everybody I talk to does it too. But so on my phone I do have the notes app and then the voice memos app, so anytime I have an idea I can just like quickly get it down. I don't always go back to them though. Like I have like pages and pages and pages of lyric ideas, and I'll go there if I'm stuck or if I remember something that I like really wanted to explore. But otherwise, I think it's more just like to keep that flowing. I will say I'm probably a music first person, or at the very least a both at the same time. But I would say that like, if I had to choose, probably music first, because what I'd love to do is like create a little bit of a landscape. And I love to sort of let my body and mind dictate what direction it goes. So usually the first vocal pass I do is all gibberish, but then some words will start to form and then it'll inspire. And I try to like come from a very honest place in my approach, so that like, you know, once it's time to like get lyrics down, they come quickly and genuinely.
I like that. I could visualize you doing that. Are you on keys recording? Are you in a computer? Are you on the guitar? Like, what's your musical instrument of choice?
I've been playing the piano since I was about 5 or 6.
Wow.
So that is definitely like my default instrument, but I do love to switch it up. I love to like sit down with the guitar or even like create in my Logic, my digital workstation. I also love to create, even if it's just a beat or something, especially if I'm feeling something super organic, if I can just get that and then I'll start layering over the top. But I do think that ultimately it's my voice that I use as the vessel for everything. Even if I'm dreaming up parts and like stuff like that, I feel like if I can sing it, I can make it happen.
Yeah, brilliant. Love it. Tell us about your latest album that you're busy releasing.
Yeah, it's so cool. I've wanted to release an album for a really long time, and it's finally, you know, we're almost there, and it's such an exciting time. But it's also, yeah, it's a weird thing. I've been working on this for so long.
But yeah, my debut full length record is called The Space in Between, and it's 12 songs, kind of about the messy parts of being human, and it really focuses in on the themes of home and identity and belonging. And I think that's something that is something I've certainly struggled with, living away from family and culture and all that kind of stuff, and trying to find your place in the world and what that looks like. And yeah, I've been able to integrate some cultural elements too. My family is Cook Islands Māori, so I've got some traditional instruments in there, some language usage, and a lot of even like one of the songs actually has some field recordings from the last time I was back home in New Zealand, which is last year. So there's lots of, this is a very like me album, and I feel like it's me in this chapter of my life, and I'm really excited to share it.
You need to jump on all those social media groups, Kiwis abroad, you know, Kiwis in Australia, Kiwis in Melbourne, Kiwis in things, and just go, hey, you're feeling homesick, here's an album just for you, and launch it on all of those sites, because there's so many social media sites where everyone sort of catches up. When Kiwis love to talk to Kiwis when we're away. It's quite funny. We leave home, but we try and find ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we need to discuss how we all miss Fijoas, you know? Like,
I was going to say, and everyone else goes, what's really a Fijoa? Yeah.
Exactly. And then you find it's like actually the like hardest thing to explain, because it's just the best. I don't know.
But only Kiwis seem to actually like them. That's the funniest thing. At the start of the interview, we played I Don't Think About You. Tell us a little bit about the story behind that, or the inspiration behind writing that one.
Yeah, so it's funny because when I first wrote that song, I wasn't sure that it was for me, like for an artist release for me. I sort of felt like maybe it would be better suited for another artist. And then as I was putting the album together, it was like I feel like I was just making an excuse not to put something super personal and vulnerable, and like have to like kind of confront the fears of being that sort of honest on a record. And the song really is just about stepping away from toxic people or relationships or whatever is holding you back, and then and sort of having to face what the aftermath of that looks like, and having to rebuild yourself after that, and also figure out like who you are and how you want to show up and how to love yourself again without that in your life. So it was never really meant to be there, but it felt like it belonged in the context of the whole record. And a little lap steel for
emotion. That's cool. And is the goal to create music videos for each song as you release them?
I think so. What I've been doing is like super DIY indie, no music video budget, but like honestly, we're so lucky with technology these days. Like everything I've filmed so far has just been on my iPhone, and I think, you know, it works for me right now because it doesn't cost me anything to film it.
But it gives the listener a chance to see and feel you, you know, it really
exactly.
does. Yeah.
And it gives that layer of storytelling, that you don't always get if you don't have a visual. So I've been enjoying that, especially, you know, with the social media clips and all that too. It's a weird thing to put yourself on the internet and say, hey, look at me. But for me, it's a lot easier if I'm doing it from a place of like, here's the story, and maybe is relatable for you and might help, hopefully.
And how do you cope in that social media sense of, you know, you put yourself out there, anybody can comment, good, bad and ugly. That's just the world we're in on social media. And like, how do you look after yourself in that space? Do you have your own rules? Like, do you read your comments or do you ignore? Like, how do you do?
Yes, I do. right now I do. But I think, like, for me, I really actually try to respond to every person that takes the time to comment, because I think that like, I don't know, I'm just so grateful. I'm just a little guy out here in the world trying to share my art. And I think that like anybody that we live in a society where there is so much going on all the time, and people have the attention span of a goldfish. So it's
somebody actually takes the time to like listen and watch, like that time is currency. So I do really try to respond, and I want to be building relationships with people like one listener at a time. I really, really, that's so important to me. I'm in this for the long haul. I'm not looking for a viral moment. When it comes to the negative comments and stuff, I sort of operate from a like, what is the intent kind of like mindset. So if I think somebody is not intentionally trying to be mean or hurtful, then I will respond and try and, you know, like kill them with kindness kind of thing.
Yeah, nice.
If someone's just being a troll and is just like intentionally trying to like be nasty, then that's when they like hide that comment, like, or like, I don't see it. Maybe it's still there, but like, you know, that's because I'm the kind of person that will overthink and overanalyze.
But that's a really good way to respond. Yeah.
That's my feelings.
Yeah. I like that. That's a really good way to respond. You know, if it's someone just giving you some critical feedback, hey, thanks for your feedback. Right. And we're not going to ever please everybody, but nice way to acknowledge it. But sadly, the internet is full of people that just, well, and half the time now you wonder, is it a person? Is it AI? Who am I?
Is it real? Exactly.
Is it real? Yeah. So what's next? Once this album is completed and released, what's next on the goals perhaps for 2027 for Nikki Kennedy? What are you going to be doing?
Well, so when I went into making this album, well, to be clear, I actually wasn't trying to make an album. I was just writing a lot of songs, and then they ended up sort of being a representation of this chapter of my life. But I had a lot of them, like a lot of them. and I actually produced 17 of them, and so this is like inside information. I haven't shared this yet, but I figured that was too many for an album, especially for a small indie artist debut album. So I have another 5 songs to go that I will be sharing at some point next year. To me, they are like part of this collection, though. Like, I do think that they're like part of this album and this chapter. So I have to sort of think about how that might look, but that might just be like more of an extended or like a deluxe kind of version of this album. And then earlier this year, I actually had the opportunity to go to the Banff Centre of the Arts in Alberta and do a music creation residency there that was about sort of a land connection and like really like listening, which when you're in the middle of the mountains and winter is one of the most incredible experiences. Yeah. And I actually started working on a couple songs there that I would really love to finish and get shearing next year as well. So definitely a lot more recorded music on the way. And the goal is always to keep playing live and to keep sharing and trying to connect with people songs and music. So yeah, hopefully lots
to look forward to. Yeah, any plans to perform back down under?
I hope so. It's funny because it's like, you know, I'm a little bit selfish with my time when I come home sometimes.
Yeah.
I just want to see my mom and dad and my family and all that kind of stuff. But I think
they probably all want to see you perform.
I was going to say they probably like that too. But yeah, I think now that with the album coming out and all that and sort of having a reason to be like, hi, like, this is me. If anybody wants to come say hi and listen to me sing, then it's definitely something I'd love to explore.
What I'm loving in Auckland at the moment is we just have so many nice small little venues that have popped up that you can sort of play to 60 or 70 people with a small stage, a nice little bar, people come for the night. It's something that I think overseas did really well, the old piano bar styles where you just walk in, enjoy some music for an hour or so, walk in and out, grab a drink, grab a snack. We're starting to actually get that right here. So there's so many opportunities to literally just pull up a keyboard and just go for it and have a small intimate gathering. Great time to launch an album, might I say. Look at those options next time you're visiting. Yeah, no pressure.
I love that. Yeah.
All right, to close the interview, our very important Kick Arts questions. All right. So, number one, if you could headline for any artist in the world, even if it's just out of your realm at the moment and you just went, nah, that artist needs me, I'm going to go first, who would you drop everything? Like, sorry, mum and dad, I'm not coming to New Zealand because I've been asked to play for...
Oh, well, like Celine Dion would be like the dream, like number one. I feel like that's a no-brainer.
Oh,
that's, like,
my goodness. Yes. Have you seen her live?
I have, yeah.
Me too, me too. It's next level. She's next level.
I cried
level.
The whole time.
Yeah, I went years ago in Vegas when her husband was still alive, and we sat three seats along from her husband. Opening number in Vegas started, and she's singing away, and we're watching her on stage, and she's incredible. And then we saw heard the second voice layer in, and we were like, what's that? And then she walked beside us down the aisle, and you realized you were watching a hologram on stage. The whole time it wasn't
her. Oh my goodness.
And then she went on stage and duetted with her hologram. Only in Vegas could that happen.
Only in Vegas.
Like, what are we watching? And then suddenly you realize your $600 American ticket, what you paid for. Yeah.
Worth it.
Yeah. All right. Celine Dion, I love it. I so approve.
Yeah.
So approve. Okay. Awesome. And if you could go back and talk to your 16-year-old self back in New Zealand before they disappeared off into the world, knowing what you know now, knowing what you studied, what advice would you give 16-year-old Nikki?
Oh, that's a question, isn't it? I think that I would tell myself that you are enough as an artist, as a human. I don't need to be anybody else's idea of a box or what box you should fit into or anything like that. I think, it took me a really long time to figure out who I was and how to show up. And so much of that was based on other people's ideas or opinions or my opinions of what I thought other people wanted to hear or see I would say you're enough.
Beautiful. All right, we're going to close the interview with your latest track, Gardenias. Tell us about this one. What's the inspiration?
Yeah, so I think this one's actually probably my most personal track, and it's because it's about my grandma. Who was my favorite person in the world. I was very fortunate to spend my life growing up with her. She passed over a decade ago, and I, despite being someone that writes about everything and processes everything in my life, feelings all that way, I never could write it because I felt like I needed to find the way to best honor her, and I wanted to really come from a place of joy instead of grief and celebrating her and her memory. And it took a really long time, but I finally wrote the song. And I hope it gives a little comfort to those that might also be navigating life after somebody's moved on.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. Well, Nikki, what an absolute pleasure to talk to you. You're going to do me a big favour, and when you come and visit your family, you're going to come and stop by our studio next time and squeeze in 100%. A live catch-up, and we can sing live and have a jam session with you in studio. We'd love to have you in there.
I would love that.
How can people find you? How can people find you, follow you, jump on your socials and give you some good positive comments?
That would be lovely. everybody can find me at Nikki Kennedy Music, and that's Nikki with 1K, so N-I-K-I, Kennedy Music.
Fantastic. All right, we're going to close out with Gardenias. You have a fabulous rest of your day in Toronto, and thanks for joining us on Kick Arts.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yesterday, and if in the as it touches my face. I see you in the butterflies as they dance around their day.
What a beautiful song dedicated to her grandma. So cool.
And such a good interview too.
Yeah, such a lovely person to talk to, which, you know, reminds all our listeners we can chat to anyone around the world. We are a podcast. So tune on in and send us people to talk to. info@kickarts.org.nz. All the best. You look exhausted. Go home, go to bed, and have a fabulous week with Heathers, and we'll look forward to catching up later in the week. Also heading to Orewa this week to Centre Stage to check out The Importance of Being Earnest. Something very different.
Good.
Yeah.
Very good.
We're going to close with another Nikki Kennedy track. However, it's not her song. It's Don't Cry Out Loud from Melissa Manchester. Have a fabulous week. Happy Father's Day, and make sure you
kick some arts.
Baby cried the day the circus came to town, 'cause she didn't want parades just passing by her. So she painted on a smile and took up with some clown, while she danced without a net upon the wire. Is an awful lot like me. Don't cry out loud, just keep it inside.
forget to brush your teeth and don't forget to go to sleep. We'll be going live, same time under the stars, saying blah, 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 blah. Let's go kick some R, R, R. Go kick some R, R, R. Go kick some R, R, R. Good night.
Your language.